When a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she often feels alone and afraid. So many times, her first response is to seek out an abortion. But because of the generosity of listeners like you, that search may lead her to a Preborn Network clinic. Preborn offers God's love and compassion to hurting women and then provides a free ultrasound to introduce them to the life growing inside of them. This combination brings the ultimate miracle of life to life and doubles a baby's chance at life, which is why Preborn saw over 67,000 babies rescued last year alone. Meet Maddie. Maddie was in a tough situation, and she wasn't sure who the father was. But after receiving counseling, prayer, and a free ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic, everything changed. Maddie discovered she had twins and found the strength she needed to choose life.
After my first visit here, and I ended up finding out that I was pregnant with twins. And I was a little unsure in the beginning because I just had a very rough situation going on, not knowing, you know, just between two different fathers. I ended up deciding that I was going to have my twins because my sister and her husband, just prayed for me and pretty much told me that I can do this. I am strong. I was prayed for over these ladies here, and it was just overall an amazing experience that helped me decide that I was willing and I was able to go through this by the grace of God. I ended up having them when I was 7 months. Yeah, so this is Analia and this is Alicia. Analia means by the grace of God and Alicia means gift of God. I'm super grateful that I came here because I would not have probably had them. And yeah, I'm super grateful for this facility.
Your tax-deductible donation of $28 sponsors one ultrasound. How many babies can you save? Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us on this brand new December edition of At The Core. And the year has flown by. We're weeks away from Christmas and the new year. And then 2026 will be upon us. John chapter 4 is where we have spent our time thus far this week. Looking at verses 13 and 14 here. Jesus is discussing with the Samaritan woman Jesus is asking her for a drink of water. And so they get into this exchange, and Jesus, of course, ends up using it as a lesson to talk about the living water that he brings to us as believers, those who trust in Jesus. Jesus answered and said to her in verse 13, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again," talking about physical water, literal water. Verse 14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And so the truth here is that Jesus is the only one that can bring about living water that satisfies the desire of our soul. And this is very fitting as we are in Christmas season that we remember Out of all of the noise and all of the debates and all of the things going on in the world, there are hard truths about life and about purpose and about humanity and who created us. And the fact of the matter is that all answers point back to the fundamental truth that we are all created in the image of God, that God has extended multiple opportunities throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament, throughout human history, has extended multiple opportunities, multiple pathways to be right with Him. You look at the Jews over and over again. God offered them a path to right relationship with Him. They continually disobeyed Him. And the ultimate answer is Jesus. And so that's why God sent Jesus, the only propitiation, the only replacement, the only fulfillment of our sin that could satisfy the penalty of our sin and our fallenness was Jesus, a pure sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice. And so that's what Christmas season is all about, is the fact that Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life so that we could have access to the Father, so that we could have eternal life. And so that's why Jesus came. That's what Christmas is about. Without the Christ, there is no Christmas. And so that's what we're celebrating this time of year. And salvation is not complicated. You know, a lot of people want to make, turn these theological debates into some overcomplicated formula that's needed for salvation. Jesus was questioned multiple times. What do we do to be saved? What must man do to be saved? And Jesus always kept it simple. He said, man must believe in me unto salvation. And when you look at the original word belief, it's a form of trust. It's a form of faith in Jesus as the Son of God, as the payment for our sin, and how we receive eternal life and eternal, really, reunification with the Father through Jesus. And so that's what Christmas is about. Don't lose focus on all the other things. That's what Christmas is about. And it's a truth that we ought not just talk about in December every year. We ought to be talking about this all the time, every year, all year around, because it's core to our faith. That is the importance and significance of the eternal life that Jesus brings us through His sacrifice. All right, that's the extended version of John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Hey, I promised our friends over at MediShare that I would keep talking about this at least for the next few weeks, and that is, MediShare is a great option. If you are in need of health insurance, even though MediShare isn't health insurance, it's healthcare sharing, but if you're in need of options when it comes to the topic of health insurance and health coverage, MediShare has some great plans available. Now, it's not traditional health insurance. It's healthcare sharing, and you can look on their website and read more about that if you're unfamiliar with it. But we've been partnering with MediShare for many, many years, promoting their work and their offerings. It's a great option for believers. It's healthcare sharing. It's not health insurance. And MediShare has been around for a long time. They're one of the top nonprofit organizations, Christian ministries out there offering this. And it's very affordable compared to some of these other commercial plans. Healthcare sharing through MediShare is very, very affordable. And their open enrollment is year-round. So they don't just have a confined period of open enrollment. You can enroll in MediShare year-round. And everybody I talk to that is a part of MediShare or other similar healthcare sharing ministries that are faith-based, they're very happy with it. And so you can go over to MediShare.com. That's just MediShare.com. MediShare.com to check out all of their options. You can key in your information and get some estimates there on what it would cost for you and your family, and you can read more of the specifics about who qualifies and who doesn't for MediShare. So that's a good time of year to mention that as people are looking at their health insurance needs. And we've covered the stories on the program about the rising cost of not just health insurance, but also health care. And those are two distinctly different things that sometimes we conflate. But there's health insurance and then there's health care and the cost of health care. And both of those have just been going up and up and up. And so MediShare might be a good alternative for some of you. Another thing we're pushing, at least for the next, let's say, week or two, up until December 5th, so maybe not another week or two, maybe just a couple more days, but we are pushing the Activate curriculum. We've got it 50% off right now. So the thinking behind this is, number one, everybody likes a discount, but number two, it's Christmas season and everybody likes to give a gift. What better gift than this Activate curriculum? This is one of the best biblical worldview training view curriculums out there, produced by your very own American Family Association. There's various professors such as Abraham Hamilton III, Ed Vitagliano, Jeff and Debbie Shreve, many others that helped produce this Activate curriculum. So it's a in-depth biblical worldview training course that you can go through as an individual or a group. We've got a couple different options there, but it's 50% off right now up until December 5th. So for the next few days, it is 50% off. That means that an individual slash household, so a family, can get the Activate curriculum for $99. And a small group, such as a small group at a church, or maybe you and some coworkers want to go through this, or some neighbors, you know, 5 to 10 people, that's that small group plan is right now $199, originally $400. And so we've got both of those individual and group plans 50% off for the next few days. You can simply go to activate.afa.net to check out more. Activate.afa.net to check out that pricing. And then the last thing I'll mention, and then we'll jump into some of the news before we have to hit a break, is our Tours to Greece and Israel registration is now closed. And so if you were thinking about that, I'm sorry, but registration has closed. And so you can stick around and join us next time as we do these trips every year. We try to do them every year. And so registration to Greece and Israel are closed, but there's some other trips in 2026 that you can go on with us. We'll talk more about those another time, but you can read more over at wildmangroup.com. Well, one announcement that the White House had yesterday with the signing of the One Big Beautiful Bill back several months ago in July, and some of the rollout of some of these provisions in the plan, including the tax code provisions. One of the provisions is what's being called the Trump accounts, and this is essentially an IRA-type investment account, but for minors, for children, for newborns specifically. And the government is going to deposit, pretty much do a $1,000 upfront deposit into these accounts, kind of a kickstart $1,000 deposit into these accounts for anyone born in basically starting in 2026 is when this kicks in. This was part of the One Big Beautiful Bill, and we'll get into some clips and why this is important a little bit after the break. But this is one very pro-family, pro-child policy that the Trump administration is rolling out. And we're facing a pretty serious headwind when it comes to two things. The fertility, and just to put it more humanely, the childbearing is... America has a childbearing problem. We've got a declining birth rate, and it's been this way for longer than you would think. Going back, technically, if we want to go back to the 60s and the 70s is when this problem really started to show itself. But for the past at least 40 years, America's birth rate has been under 2%. So we haven't been at replacement levels for over 40 years. And I tell people this all the time and they're shocked. They actually don't believe me and they start doing all their fact checking and then they find out that I'm right. But America hasn't been at replacement levels for over 40 years. And the reason that this hasn't been kind of a more pressing issue and been forced to be talked about more than it already has is that we've been replacing Americans with foreigners. So we've been importing through both legal and illegal immigration tens of millions of foreigners and to fill our country. And so our population counts, you know, have steadily been climbing. And so you look at that and go, well, you know, we're doing just fine. But when you look at the native-born population, we haven't been at replacement levels for over 40 years. This is very, very problematic for multiple reasons, both cultural and economic. We'll talk more about that. But President Trump is doing what he can to advance a very pro-family, pro-child policy from the administration. And you can do this through multiple means, economic and otherwise. But to me, this is one step and multiple that needed to take place in order to shore up America's families and to really create a culture of life and invest in the next generation. And so these Trump accounts are rolling online in 2026. This is one of multiple provisions in the One Big Beautiful Bill, including the tax credit going up just a little bit per child in 2026 and beyond. A lot of these policies now being made permanent. But the one thing that makes this this Trump account unique is it leans into and invests in the stock market and equities and some of these index funds, which is one of the only ways, there's a few ways, but it's one of the primary ways that you can get ahead in this American economy is being invested in the markets and being invested in assets and equities. And I think it's brilliant that President Trump is using the markets and a known system that is equities and investments to invest in the next generation. And really, as Senator Cruz called it, it's an introduction to capitalism, which is what every child needs at this time in American history. So we'll talk more about this after the break. Some exciting developments. We'll be back in a few.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. A vacation with a purpose. That's what we call our tours here at American Family Radio, American Family Association, because we go and we see and we do and we have great fellowship and fun and food, but we also have a purpose in visiting the places we go to, a spiritual purpose, a historical purpose, and that's going to include our tours in 2026. Here are the tours. We're going to Washington, D.C. We're going to George Washington's Mount Vernon. We're going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We're going to Boston, Massachusetts. So if you want information on any of those tours for 2026, the dates, the prices, the itinerary, go to this website, wildmangroup.com, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, group.com, and we hope to see you on one of our 2026 Spiritual Heritage Tours.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to this second segment now underway here on American Family Radio. You can, if you would like, and we would greatly appreciate it, subscribing to the podcast, that is. We would love it if you subscribe to the podcast, and that will ensure that each episode is queued up in your library on your smart device, on your mobile device, each and every day. Just type in the name of the program At the Core wherever you listen to podcast and click the follow or the subscribe button, and you'll have the latest episode each and every day queued up right there in your library. Also, we've got the video up on all the socials, on AFR's socials and At the Core Facebook page, and then, of course, stream.afa.com. www.familyfamilyministries.net, which is our very own video streaming platform that we built so we could bypass the big tech companies when they decide they want to censor us, stream.afa.net. All right, let's talk a little bit of economy. I did mention those Trump accounts late in the last segment. This is a clip from Senator Cruz. This is probably one of the best, let's say, minute 15 second explanations of what these Trump accounts are. Let's listen to Senator Ted Cruz, which is a major player in passing this legislation. Clip 3.
These Trump accounts, starting on July 4th, every child in America will have a personal investment account opened for them. Newborn children will have it seeded with $1,000. Parents and family and employers can contribute up to $5,000 a year in a tax-advantaged account. That money will be invested in the S&P 500, in the stock market, broad-based equity index account. Two massive benefits that change this country. Number one, every child in America will experience the benefits of compound growth. Take a little girl born next year. She's born next year, she has the account opened for her, $1,000 is automatically seeded, her parents, her family, or an employer puts $5,000 a year each year into that account. If you assume the historic rate of growth of the S&P 500, which is 7% a year, by the time that little girl is 18, she will have $170,000 in that account. And if she keeps saving, by the time that little girl is 35, she will have $700,000 in that account.
Well, there you have it. Pretty staggering numbers, but they all add up. They all add up. If someone were to lean into this and really maximize it, those are the numbers. Roughly $170,000, $180,000 by the time they're 18 in this investment account. And then by the time they're 35, over $700,000 in this Trump account, in this investment account, that is allowing minors, it's allowing people's children to start these accounts at birth and have it under their name. And then, of course, when they turn 18, they can utilize and access this money for college, for buying a home, for starting a business, whatever they decide to use it for. They can do so as soon as they turn 18. Bobby, this is brilliant for multiple reasons, but the markets are one of the surest ways to ensure your money grows. Now, it's not risk-free, right? We all know that. The market goes up and down, but it always goes up, right, even after it comes down. So, this is a way that if parents were to take advantage of this, and there's an employer contribution option as well, then our young people could be 16, 17, 18 years old with $100,000 in their name.
Yeah, I think it's a fabulous initiative, especially from the fact and the standpoint that there is no outside intervention. It is in that account. Nobody can come in and be a trustee, can be a guardian, a parent, what have you, and say, okay, this is enough of that. We need the money, so on and so forth. Time in anything is proven compounding over time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, to the good senator's statistics there, S&P 7% annual average over its lifetime.
Yeah.
And if you take those numbers just in the last 10 years, it's far, far higher than that right now. Mm-hmm. But obviously over time, it's a 7% return, which is nothing to sneeze at. And to have an 18-year-old who becomes an adult and can assume the account on their own and use it for the expenditures that they need, college, vocational, technical school education, whatever the case may be, what a great jumping-off point.
Yeah,
a great jumping-off point.
Yeah.
And the seed money of $6.25 billion from the Dells, that's incredible.
That's a good point. I didn't even mention that. Yep. So the Dell family, who obviously founded the Dell tech company, computer company, they seeded about $6.25 billion into these accounts for every, every newborn for 26, I believe is how they calculated that. And about $250 per account is my understanding of the math there. So very, very big deal. Very, very generous of them. And I want to get back to this, why this is a big deal and why the markets and equities and assets are the way of the future, and they have been the way of the past. So this isn't a new phenomenon. But in this, and this is where you get a lot of noise out there if you watch, you know, CNBC and you know, follow all these talking heads, these economists. You get a lot of mixed reactions to the markets. You get a lot kind of this fear talking, right, about recession and market crash, and are we in a, you know, another tech bubble like the dot-com bubble with AI? And here's kind of what I want, the truth that I want us to all understand. And I'm no economist, I'm no financial advisor, so this is purely my opinion, even though I think it's pretty right. But the in this is especially important with the record levels of deficit spending that our government is engaged in currently and has been engaged in since COVID. There's only a few ways to grow your money at a rate in which at a minimum keeps up with inflation, but on a good day actually outpaces inflation, all right? One of the few ways to do that is to be invested in the markets, all right? And when I say the markets, I'm talking the stock market, okay? Whether it's direct indexing, whether you're directly owning specific shares in companies, or whether you're doing some index funds or some ETFs or some kind of broader categories, there's all kinds of things you can do. This is one of the few ways that has historical backing and data to keep up or outpace inflation with your money, okay? And now, most of you listening, hopefully you have some kind of retirement account. You've probably been in the markets for some time, depending on what kind of demographic we're talking to. But this message needs to be hammered home to younger generations, okay? Because if we talk about the stock market as it's this boogeyman, and if you invest in it, you know, you might lose the clothes off your back, that's not really a wise way to talk about this, okay? Now, with the stock market, is there risk? Absolutely there's risk. I mean, it can go down 10, 20% tomorrow. Probably not 20% because they got circuit breakers built in, but it can go down 5, 10%, and over the course of a week or two or months, if there's uncertainty or something happens in the economy, it can go down more than that. Theoretically, could we have another, you know, 1920-something style stock market crash? Of course, absolutely, that very well could happen. Who knows if it will or not? You know, history usually repeats itself, so it probably will happen at some point. But nonetheless, the point here is that we need to be teaching young people to get into the markets at a much younger age. And when I say a much younger age, I'm talking about early adulthood. Even if it's just a little bit here and there or a little bit every paycheck in a retirement account, we can't run away from the markets because it's one of the few options that your average person has access to out there to keep up with or even outpace inflation. And Bobby, you mentioned, you know, S&P average roughly 7 to 8%. Over the course of time, of course, some years are better than others. Some years it's down, some years it's up. But Bobby, if you're not, if you don't have the ability to get into hard assets, and I mean like real estate, appreciating hard assets like real estate,
right,
then the markets are the way to go.
Yeah.
Because every person can open an equity account, an investment account. Technically, you don't have to have an advisor, a financial advisor.
Correct.
It's probably wise to have one, but you can do it yourself.
Yep.
You can buy shares in companies.
Right off an app.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's broadly available now with the internet and online trading, et cetera.
Yeah. And to your point, the consistency is the key, and I think our listeners' takeaway should be DCA,
yeah,
dollar cost averaging, whether it's a little... whether it's a little bit more, it should be done typically on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you have to save, you have to invest, And that's part and parcel of things. You have to save for an emergency account, typically 6 months worth of income. And your investing side of that, whatever you can afford, the key is consistency. Because as you do this month over month, you level off the troughs and the peaks.
Yeah.
And it's much more consistent, so that if the market does drop down, now you're buying at a much lesser premium. And occasionally you'll buy in at the top of the markets, but all in all, it'll average out, and you'll look at that 7%, if not higher.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, when I first started as a young adult, kind of figuring out what this whole economy thing was and the markets and what's an investment account and a retirement account, I was a little on the fence about, the risk versus a reward, and especially during times of uncertainty, that's probably not a good time to be jumping into it, even though, timing the market is a nearly impossible task. But Bobby, the more time has gone on, I mean, this is long term. If you have time on your hands, this is clearly the way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the way to go.
The other thing that I've learned over the years through various advisors and so forth is, if you can put off the "I got to have it right now" mentality,
yeah,
what they used to call the Pepsi generation mentality of just satisfying everything right now.
Yeah.
By the time the average person turns 40, and for a lot of folks it sounds like, oh, that's way down the road.
Comes quick.
Very quick, believe me. And when you sit down and think about that at the age of 40 and what that looks like, $170,000 or $145,000 seems paltry by the time you maintain that discipline and come 40 years of age.
Yeah.
It's looking good down that road.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a little rundown on the Trump accounts that will kick in 2026, all of that in the One Big Beautiful Bill, why that's important, why young people should be trained on the markets. They should be taught the importance of the markets and retirement and investment and saving. All the Dave Ramsey principles, right? Let's talk a little bit about inflation, because it has been coming down in most categories. The vast majority of categories, inflation has been coming down, has been cooling, rather. This is Will Kane on Fox News. He's actually going through each category for us. Now, you're going to have to listen if we have the visual here, which we actually do over on Facebook and on stream.afa.net. But this clip here, Will Kane's talking about, in virtually every category, President Trump has been able to substantially bring down inflation multiple percentage points. This is clip four. Let's listen.
Here's a look at the price changes from January to September of both Joe Biden and President Trump's first years in office. Take a look at overall inflation. During the Biden administration, it was up 4.3%. During the Trump administration, it's up 1.6%. You can see it in various baskets of goods. Look at Biden on groceries, 3.8% versus 1.3% for Trump. New and used cars, 13.6% for Joe Biden, down 0.5% for President Trump. It even carries over into car insurance. In fact, gas prices are also down. They're less than $3 a gallon, and that's lower than this time last month or this time last year. You remember when egg prices became the economic barometer? Well, a dozen eggs will run you about $1.50 less than it did in January. All of this leaving Democrats with egg on their face.
Well, there you have it. That's a pretty good assessment there from Will Kane.
What a great tag.
Yeah, and the context of this, folks, just to give you a little context, is that the Democrats are trying to capitalize on this affordability talking point. I mean, Mondami in New York City did this. The lady who ran for the Tennessee congressional seat yesterday evening, who thankfully lost, she was kind of running on this account of this affordability topic talking point. And I think Democrats are going to seize on this going into the midterms. But the reality, folks, is the reason we have affordability problem to begin with because of one person, and his name is Joe Biden. Okay, Democrats came in 2021 January and just started printing money like there was no tomorrow. And now, granted, just to be honest here, President Trump and Republicans printed some money during COVID leading into the 2020 election before the inauguration in 21, but over 80% of the trillions, roughly $7 trillion that was printed in about a 24-month to 36-month period after COVID was done by President Biden. All right, that's a fact. And then not only did President Biden print $4 to $5 trillion through congressional acts at the Treasury Department, he also tightened down the regulations on our energy industry and virtually every other industry to make it more expensive to do business. All right. So President Trump is bringing back affordability. Granted, it's taking some time. They're making some serious headway. Interest rates are coming down. Job wages are actually growing now instead of folks losing money. So things are moving in the right direction, but it just takes time. We'll be back in a few.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us this last segment. You can listen live over at AFR.net, and you can catch past episodes there at AFR.net. Well, as we as the Trump administration continues to tackle the affordability issue in our country, which things are trending in the right direction, the federal government is also cracking down on wasteful government spending and even fraudulent programs and fraudulent government spending. Pair that with mass deportations, you have some serious savings and relief on the horizon from a monetary standpoint and purely from a services standpoint that the government attempts to provide. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins was at the White House yesterday during a cabinet meeting, and she was talking about how her department is reviewing all state-level data, checking to ensure that everything checks out, that we don't have illegal immigrants using SNAP benefits, that we don't have people who are non-eligible using benefits, that we don't have fraudsters dipping in to the benefits. And ironically, all Republican states have fully cooperated with the USDA, provided them the data that they need to do this review, this audit, and virtually every Democrat state has refused to cooperate. Bizarre. Why would a Democrat state not want to ensure that America's tax dollars are being spent wisely? I mean, this is absolutely bizarre. But this is the Democrat Party of 2025, and they're for illegal immigrants. They're for illegal drug smugglers. They are for gangbangers, rapists, and drug dealers. They're for your hardened criminals, even your legal citizens that are criminals, and they don't want to help fix the fraud problem. I mean, this is just absolutely bizarre that the Democrats have staked out their positions in such bizarre fashion. I mean, I'm not sure who their audience is here, who they're appealing to, but this is Secretary Brooke Rollins talking about how, hey, if Democrat states aren't going to cooperate to cut down on the fraud, then they're just not going to get the money. This is clip five.
In February of this year, we asked for all the states for the first time to turn over their data to the federal government to let the USDA partner with them to root out this fraud, to make sure that those who really need food stamps are getting them, but also to ensure that the American taxpayer is protected. 21 states said yes, not surprised. 29 states said yes, not surprisingly, the red states. And that's where all of that data, that fraud comes from. But 21 states, including California, New York, and Minnesota, blue states, continue to say no. So as of next week, we have begun and will begin to stop moving federal funds into those states until they comply and they tell us and allow us to partner with them to root out this fraud and to protect the American taxpayer. As Joe Biden was working to buy an election a year ago, he increased food stamp program funding by 40%. So now as we continue to roll that back.
Well, there you have it. That's USDA Agricultural Secretary Brooke Rollins talking about how if the states are not going to cooperate with the USDA on these audits, then they're not going to get the money. And I think that's 100% fair game. If you don't want to help us make sure that this is being done correctly, and by the way, you're getting federal dollars here. You're getting federal match money. So if you guys want to run this fraudulent system, then you're not getting the federal dollars, point blank. And so they need to move on this quicker, by the way. I don't like how long this stuff is taking. But nonetheless, they're doing it. That's Brooke Rollins. And I can't wait to see this litigated, because you know it's going to be litigated. But I just can't wait for the Democrats to show up in court and say, yeah, we're for fraud, we don't want accountability, and we're okay with wasting America's taxpayer dollars. I can't wait to hear that court argument and how they want to kind of shoehorn that into their agenda. It's quite fascinating. When you look at the amount of fraud and improper payments, there's a couple of numbers here. There's estimates from various reports that there's about $12 billion annually from theft, from just straight up stealing SNAP benefits. There's roughly another $10 billion in improper payments. That means payments are going to people who don't qualify, all right? That's at a minimum, and these are very conservative numbers, $25 billion. All right. Now, I'm also tired of this media talking point, well, that this is not really that big of a deal. They'll say it's a small percentage of cases where this happens. And I'm thinking to myself, number one, $25 billion is no change. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, how many of us just would not take $1 million? $25 billion? And you guys are saying, this really isn't that big of a deal. We don't really have time to look into this. Are you kidding me? $25 billion. That's insane. Secondly, this is something that compounded over time seriously adds up. And so if the Trump administration can effectively crack down on this across multiple agencies, dozens of programs, you're talking hundreds of billions of dollars here. And this is where the entire DOGE, comes from. You save $10 billion here, $25 billion here. You do that across the entirety of the multi-trillion dollar federal government. This seriously adds up. It seriously adds up over time. Also, this notion that we can't expect to clean up all of this, that, you're always going to have some level of fraud and abuse, I'm just not buying that, okay? I'm not buying that because it's 2025 and we have all kinds of advanced and sophisticated verification measures to ensure that the folks who qualify are the folks who are getting the benefits, all right? And so we need to stop acting like we're in the 80s or the 90s and, we're running a typewriter here and we just can't figure out how to make this thing work. There's just too many people enrolled in the program to verify all of this. Folks, I'll guarantee you if we stop paying our taxes, the IRS will figure it out. They will figure it out. And the Democrats, by the way, what's ironic is the Democrats are all in favor of this big brother mass surveillance state. Remember under Biden, they were trying to implement a rule over, I think it was at the Treasury, where they were wanting to monitor our PayPal transactions and our Venmo and Cash App, all these different mobile apps where you can move money around. They were wanting to monitor like any transaction over $600, I think, or $300.
That's correct. $600 worth of threshold.
Yeah, under Biden. And you know what they're doing there, folks. And they try to claim that they're trying to clamp down on like illegal activity or something. No. They were trying to make sure that they could siphon off as many taxes as from your 1099 people as possible. That's what that was all about. They were wanting to have visibility into your gig economy, your folks who were doing odd and end jobs on the weekend, and getting paid via these apps, they're wanting to have visibility into that so they can make sure you pay taxes on that. That's what this is all about. And so it's so ironic that the Democrats, they're all in favor of more government, more visibility, you know, spying on anyone and everyone. But when it comes to verifying SNAP benefits, they're like, oh, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. It's just quite the irony. And so you pair the clamp down in cutting out this waste, fraud, and abuse with the mass deportation of illegal immigrants, you have some serious savings here on deck. But the Trump administration has to continue pushing forward, and they've got to continue with the urgency too. I mean, we can't let our foot off the pedal. They need to move harder and faster. If they think they're doing enough, they need to do more. And that's the way they started this administration roughly 10 to 11 months ago, but they've got to continue it just as fast or just as quickly as they did. Another story I want to talk about is the what's coming out of the FDA this week. This is a staggering report, and we've talked about this in recent years in light of the COVID pandemic. But there's a memo that is being circulated at the FDA in recent weeks about the COVID shots and the effects on children. All right. These shots were rolled out in an experimental manner, and the Biden administration recommended them for children, even for pregnant women. And now this memo is not looking very good. Reading from this NBC report, vaccine experts said the memo, I got to filter this through the mainstream filter before I start reading this. So the headline is FDA claims COVID shots killed 10 children and vows new vaccine rules. So the director of the FDA vaccine division told agency staff in a memo that an internal review found that at least 10 children died after and because of receiving the COVID vaccine. The 3,000-word memo obtained by NBC was written by Dr. Vinay Prasad, director of the FDA's Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research. In it, Prasad claims that agency staff determined that no fewer than 10 of 96 child deaths reported to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, otherwise known as VAERS, between 2021 and 2024 were related to COVID vaccination. He said the true numbers could be higher, accusing the agency, which is his own agency, of ignoring the safety concerns for years. Wrapping this up, the memo sent Friday did not include the children's ages or medical histories, timelines, or documentation for the deaths he references, and does not identify the manufacturer of the vaccines associated with these deaths. All right. But here's the kind of the subline that I intentionally read over and ignored because of the pure bias here. But here's how NBC explains it in their byline. Vaccine experts said the memo was irresponsible, talking about this FDA report. Vaccine experts said the memo was irresponsible and that it omits key details about how officials arrived at the conclusion. All right, here's what I want to draw from this in the few minutes we have left. So this memo comes out of the FDA, right? And this is the same agency that under Biden was apparently this, you know, herald of truth, this agency that everybody could trust, right? The trusted FDA, all right? So, and anybody who questions it is a vaccine skeptic and should be dismissed and shouldn't be able to, you know, have the viewpoint, et cetera. So let me get this right. Now the mainstream media is throwing skepticism on the FDA and their processes and the folks running the FDA. They're acting as if the FDA is now non-credible. Quite interesting. Under COVID, the way of operating was this, all right? We have a pandemic brought to us by China, brought to us by a lab that was funded by our tax dollars. And the pharmaceutical industry rushes to market, all right, with these, by definition, legally experimental shots, okay, which have very little, if any, safety data, all right? And we were told to trust the experts. Trust the FDA. We've got your back. And so we were told that the FDA, that these shots, these COVID shots that we knew were experimental, and we, most of us knew that they didn't have a safety rap sheet, a safety record associated with them because of how quickly they were rushed to market. But we were told over and over again that they were safe and effective, which was a dishonest message. It was a lie, all right? It was more than dishonest. It was a lie. We were told they were safe and effective while the agency officials knew that they couldn't back that claim, all right? But we were told, trust the FDA, trust the science, trust Fauci. Well, here we are now with the same agency releasing the fact that at least 10 children died from these experimental COVID shots. But now the media message is, don't trust the FDA. Be skeptical of the FDA. And oh, we need more studies. We need more clinical trials. We need more safety reviews before we can definitely say that these shots ended the life of at least 10 children. Where was the media when they were rushing these shots to market, when multiple experts were saying, hey guys, you better hold up, slow it down. We don't know the effects of these shots. And by the way, let's don't force people to take them. Let's don't fire people and affect their livelihoods over these shots. Everybody slow down. Now, all of a sudden, the FDA is non-credible per the mainstream media.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.